You're listening to a special series of Between Two Flags for UNA Canada's Green Corps program. Through regular podcasts, Green Corps will invite a wide range of experts to discuss complex environmental, economic, and social issues. Live tweet as you listen with hashtag Between Two Flags. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Between Two Flags. Today, we are very honored to have Mary Moran from Calgary Economic Development. Mary joined Calgary Economic Development as the Vice President of Marketing, Communications, and Research in 2010 and was promoted to President and Chief Executive Officer in 2015. She has extensive leadership experience in developing strategy, marketing, stakeholder relations, and fund development with major corporations including TELUS, Delta Hotels, Canadian Airlines, and Wardair. Welcome onto the show, Mary. It's a pleasure to have you.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
I'll introduce the listeners to what the organization does, and I'll leave you to add your personal bit, as I'm sure you know about Calgary Economic Development much more than I do, and you might be able to explain it a little bit more. So Calgary Economic Development is an arm-length agency of the City of Calgary in the business of facilitating prosperity for all citizens. They collaborate with stakeholders in business, government, and the community to advance economic growth and diversification. They serve as conduits, connectors, catalysts, and storytellers for an entrepreneurial and innovative city. Calgary Economic Development is focused on promoting Calgary as a talent hub, accelerating sector diversification, attracting corporate headquarters, and developing an innovative ecosystem. They position Calgary as a global center of excellence for all things energy, with a focus of development of renewable sources and advances in technology to make traditional fuels more efficient and lessen environmental impacts. Did you want to add on to that a little bit?
I think you did a pretty good job of covering it. All I would say is that you know, obviously in Calgary we're suffering from a downturn in the energy industry, which has allowed us to kind of refocus and reimagine kind of not only just what the city is, but what our organization does.
Okay, yeah, and I thank you for that. No, I'm also personally interested in the session for sure, because I'm a Calgarian myself, and I've been basically interested in sustainable development, so I guess economic, environmental, and social sustainability, and bringing those factors into Calgary a little bit more over the years. So definitely intrigued based on what you probably have to offer. So we've got a few questions in from Green Corps participants. Did you have any comments before we jump into the questions?
No, I'm looking forward to the question.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so the first one is from one of our Green Corps participants. Her name's Jessica Karafulov. She's the bilingual program assistant at Green Learning. And she asked the following question. Through the organization I'm working for, high school students across Canada completed investigations on how climate change is impacting their communities. The students in Alberta recognize the environmental need to transition to green energies, but we're concerned about Alberta's ability to survive economically if that were to be done. What steps is Calgary taking to ensure a smooth transition to green energies without negatively impacting the economy?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I just want to start off by just saying, I think, you know, climate change is everybody's responsibility, not just industry's responsibility. And I think that, you know, when you look at what consumer behavior does to impact climate change, we all have to look at ourselves. And, you know, and the industry obviously has a responsibility in that as well. You know, I think from the how it will impact the Calgary economy, obviously this is, you know, at the forefront of everyone's conversation these days. And I think that's why you see large oil and gas producers who are also in the business of wind production. In fact, some of the largest oil producers are the largest wind producers in Canada. And so you can see that transition happening quite slowly. But I do think we have to emphasize the operative word here, which is transition. And I think that, you know, it's not a light switch that we will be able to flip over to renewables. And, you know, I think when you have a you have to take a very balanced approach. And so, you know, for Calgary as a city, we always say that we want to continue to be a responsible leader and a global center in all things energy. Alberta is blessed with the fact that we have fossil fuels underfoot, but we also have an inordinate amount of wind and an inordinate amount of sun in Alberta. So we're well positioned not only to transition, but to be the energy center of the future. And so, you know, from our organization's perspective, we've been working on renewables for a couple of years now, working on energy technology innovation. And we have a renewable advisory committee. We also have an energy systems advisory committee. And also I belong to a steering committee, which is working on what we call clean resource innovation network or supercluster, which is to, you know, more formally connect all the people that should be involved in this, whether that be private sector, co-secondaries, and education, as well as the government, to say, how do we take on the problems, both in energy alone, but also in fossil fuels? So how do we work at reducing carbon out of fossil fuels? And that is everything from extraction right through to end use, because we know that consumer behavior is driving more than, you know, 80% of greenhouse gas emissions. And so, you know, these energy industries care about helping car companies and not just working on the extraction.
Right. No, I completely agree. I think Calgary definitely has a lot of potential. I believe Calgary is the sunniest city in Canada, so that says something in itself.
320 days a year.
It's insane. I definitely miss that because I just moved in October and I am missing the sun. I mean, it just shows that there's a ton of potential there, and this isn't a transition that's going to happen. You know, you mentioned transition, and that's very important. I mean, it's not just going to happen overnight exactly with just a switch of a light. It's something that's going to take a little bit of time and a lot of thinking. Kind of multi-sector partnerships in terms of, you know, governments working with industry, working with nonprofits, working with universities and industry leaders in general. You know, you're right. You know, with oil and gas and coal, I guess fossil fuels in general, These are important aspects of the economy in Alberta. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, we did a study last year that actually says that, you know, obviously Calgary is really well positioned and is quickly becoming Canada's green energy hub. And that's particularly because not only do we have a lot of science, technology, engineering, and math workers here, and a lot of them are trying to pivot their careers, particularly during this downturn. But because we have this abundance of wind and we have this abundance of sun in the region. And I would just say, you know, we can't be naive in the sense that, you know, that we know that in renewables, it's not as labor as intensive as, you know, oil sands production, right? So we have to be, you know, careful what we say with respect to the job creation that it will have. But, you know, there's a whole bunch of other technologies that are applying to both the what we would call traditional or conventional energy industry, as well as renewable energies that, you know, we have to get people retrained to work in those, what we call the industrial sectors, and how the Internet of Things overlays on top of those things.
Yeah, no, so, of course.
And then, so I think, you know, just from a job perspective, it's we have to acknowledge the fact that, you know, it isn't as labor as intensive as oil sands or gas production, but there's still lots of opportunities for Albertans.
Definitely, and I think you touched on that quite perfectly. There is, we need to make sure that with sustainable development, you know, even though we're pushing towards environmental sustainability, we do need to make sure the economy survives, and you know, being able to retrain. You know, engineers that have worked in oil and gas and for, you know, their entire careers, being able to retrain them and work in renewable energy companies, It's something that would require, again, a lot of research and a lot of preparation and a lot of training. But I mean, that's one way of being able to maintain that balance in the economy and maintain that growth while also transitioning to a more environmentally friendly economy.
Yes, and I think also what we have to get better at is this, you know, when we develop technologies, like whether they be in the energy industry, like conventional energy or in alternative energies, that we, you know, we have to get better also at exporting those, to kind of that expertise, that like the knowledge that we have, but also just the technologies. So I think that that's one of the reasons we're so focused on trying to do our little part in building out a stronger innovation ecosystem here. It's not just for the energy industry, but across industries.
Of course, yeah. No, that makes sense. It's really interesting. Something that I've noticed too is, you know, in Alberta, I believe, I'm not sure if it's still exactly 80%, but I believe 80% of the energy is produced from coal, of the electricity.
That much, actually. It's what we know is that with the phase out, that there's going to be 6,000 megawatts of energy supply required.
Right.
But that wouldn't make up, I don't think, 80%.
Okay. So I mean, it's of course, nonetheless, you know, majority of the electricity that is produced in Alberta is produced from fossil fuels, and it's interesting because you know, even through this transition, and people are trying to become more environmentally friendly, so they'll produce or they'll purchase electric cars, thinking that, okay, well, at least I'm not you know, emitting carbon dioxide into the air because I'm not purchasing gas to fuel my car. But when they have to charge the vehicle and charge the battery, the electricity produced from that is usually from a fossil fuel. So it's really interesting, I think. You know, with this transition, the most important thing, I believe, is education, is being able to inform citizens as to, you know, what the transition actually looks like, what kind of role you can actually take into reducing your own carbon footprint. And it's really interesting to see how that's going to happen. But I think Calgary's getting there for sure, slowly but surely.
Without a doubt. And I think the other part, too, that a lot of people don't know is that the city runs, the Big C city is, like the organization, City of Calgary actually is, I think it's one of the first cities that actually runs off all renewables.
Oh, and wow.
So, yes, it's one of the few cities that does that. So, you know, I think our biggest problem is we don't tell our story enough. So, and I would say, you know, you have to remember particularly, you know, and I think the climate change leadership plan gives us a platform to talk about these things, or puts a bit of a spot, more of a spotlight on us. But, you know, we've been doing a lot of great things for a lot of years. And I always say to people, you know, they have this image of, you know, open pit mining, which is typically what the media tend to portray, which is not a very pretty sight by any stretch of the imagination, right? But right. It's also a very antiquated process. And so only 10% of oil production comes from open pit, yet it's what media tends to flash across the TV or on the front page of the paper. And I don't mean it disrespectfully to the media, but it's just, it's an easy way to tell a bad story. But when you look at, you know, in situ and SAGD, I mean, this is a postage stamp of operation. Not that they can't get better, and they know that they can get better, particularly at extraction and the reuse of water and production of steam, but you know that they are working hard at trying to improve those things. But you know, we also sit in the backyard of the most beautiful place in Canada, the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
And we are, you know, close to religious in protecting that national park. And so, and not just because of it, you know, this is our playground as much as it is anybody else's playground. And, you know, it seems so odd to me that it's such a disconnect for people to say that we're going to act recklessly in our industry, but we act so carefully about our quality of life, right?
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. And, you know, I mean, we're one of the cities that has the highest ridership in transit. You know, we're not sitting on the Don Valley Parkway for an hour or two every day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's, you know, I think Canadians have to look at their own use. And I agree with you 100%. When you're looking for alternatives to reduce your carbon footprint, really think about it hard and think about end-to-end use, right? So what does it cost to get a battery, right? What goes into the battery, which is typically it's usually a petrochemical product. And so there's various other things. And I don't think that people, and in fairness to people, I don't think the energy industry has done a great job of positioning that, you know, energy has brought people quality of life. You know, right. we were using wind, solar, plant and animal energy in the 1850s, right? And it brought, through fossil fuel, we were able to get, a significant improvement in quality of life. So if you want to fly to Florida, or you want to fly to Hawaii, or you want to, buy lipsticks, bikes, everything, there's not many running shoes, there's not many things that don't have a petrol product in it. And so for us to say that we're going to, shut down fossil fuels for, wind and solar, it is a great ambition to have, but it takes time, and it's going to be a long time until we start. There's going to be replacements for some of those products and transportation uses that I talked about, right? Doesn't mean that we shouldn't try, both the energy industry as well as, but everybody has a responsibility in this. It's not, finger pointing at the energy industry is very counterproductive.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right, and I think, again, I always say the most sustainable thing you can do is share your knowledge. So, when it comes to sharing the story about City of Calgary and the fact that they run on completely all renewable energy and all these things, that's the most sustainable thing you can do is just share this information. And I think that's what will stem people, that's what will stem the growth and motivate people to push through it. Okay, so we'll just move on to the next. We'll try and get through as many as we can. We had a few questions, but depending on timing, okay. So so the next question is actually from Brigitte Langshaw. So he's a climate change intern at AgriTeam Canada, and he asks the following question. As a Calgarian, but also someone who has studied the Albertan economy's intersection with the energy industry, I think it is provable that Calgary is over-dependent upon the energy industry. This is clear from a myriad of factors and produces a miniature, localized version of Dutch disease. How do we promote sectors of the economy that don't focus on energy when these other sectors are under-supported and uncompetitive?
I'm not 100% sure what sectors he's talking about that are uncompetitive, right? I think, there's sectors, and let me just talk about, I don't disagree with him in the sense that, Calgary and Alberta are over-dependent upon the energy industry. I think it's hard to, walk away when you've got, such a valuable resource underfoot. And when you think about the reserves in Alberta, we've got the third largest reserve in Alberta, and all Canadians have benefited from that, not just in their quality of life, but also in, in the way that Alberta has produced for this country and the transfer payments that have been made to build hospitals and schools across this country. I think that it's not just Alberta. First of all, it's not Alberta's industry, it's Canada's industry. And I think that's important to know. But I do believe that there's some opportunities that are in obvious sectors that make sense, that build on our strengths. It builds on our strengths that we've made in the energy industry, but have great opportunities for us that aren't related to the energy. They're actually more related to population growth than they are anything else. So, some would argue, well, the population wouldn't be here unless the energy industry is here. And I would say, well, that could be true, but there's a lot of economists that have the theory that, at some point, jobs bring people, but after you reach a critical mass, actually people bring jobs. So, and I think that's the transition that we're in. We saw such significant growth in our population, and people came from all over the world, and they're the highest educated in Canada. And so there's an opportunity for us to look at other sectors. So the sectors that we tend to focus on are sectors that aren't necessarily as cyclical as the energy industry, the obvious one being and given the region, is agriculture or agri-food and agribusiness, which we are trying to do, work very hard on right now as a sector of growth and great opportunity. We also are really focused on logistics, and this is more related to kind of consumer than business. So, given that we are great close proximity to the port in Vancouver, we're a great inland port. And the reason we're a great inland port is because we're geographically located on the Trans-Canada and the Canamex Highway. We have two intermodal railways here that have invested greatly. So CP, CN are both have heavy investments here. CP is located here. Their head office is located here. We're the home of WestJet. We just built a $2.3 billion extension to the airport, which includes a world-class cargo facility. We have lots of land around the airport, and we have access to a significant number of people within a 24-hour period. We're positioning Alberta as a good logistics hub, and we're positioning Alberta as a smart logistics hub. And this is, you know, we're going after companies that are the smartest in their business, that don't take up big warehouse footprints, that they have other ways that have been induced by technology that allows them to take up less of a footprint and leave, you know, lower their carbon footprint. So, you know, I think that those are two sectors, but we're also trying to really strengthen our financial services. So through the energy industry, the financial services here has built up tremendously over the last, 10 to 15 years. We have most international banks here. In fact, we've just attracted the second largest bank in the world. And they're not necessarily only interested in energy. They're interested in clean tech. They're interested in agri-tech. They're interested in logistics. And they're interested in renewable energy. And so, you know, we have a good, strong financial hub because we were doing 10 to 15% of world energy deal flow out of here. So we're sophisticated, we're global, and we've got a great depth of all types of financial services here in Calgary. So that's an industry that we're trying to expand. And why we were so greatly disappointed that the federal government opted to send or put the Canada Infrastructure Bank in Toronto rather than Calgary, because I can tell you from living in Toronto that, you know, first of all, there tends to be groupthink on Bay Street, and secondly, they're not half as creative at doing financing as the Alberta industries are. And that's not balance sheet financing. This is things like, trusts. This is things like flow-through shares to allow small energy companies to grow. And so we think we have a strong financial services here. And then sectors that we think we have opportunity in that are smaller are things like creative industries. So a lot of people don't know that the crews in Southern Alberta that have worked on film and television have more Globe, Oscar, and Emmy awards than any other jurisdiction in Canada. Yet we're a small film producer. We know that we can grow that five times. We've just invested in a $28 million film center to try to grow that, and we need to work with the government to ensure we have the right programs to attract the right types of projects here. But also tourism. Tourism still in Calgary is relatively small because we've been a gateway to the Rocky Mountains.
Right.
And so we've got to work on getting more tourists to stay here. And as we build up our arts and culture, sports and recreation assets, there's going to be more interest. And I think about the market of Chinese, where something like 4 to 7% of Chinese people actually hold a passport, right? Mm-hmm. And as the rising middle class emerges from countries like China, and now we have nonstop service into Calgary from Beijing, there's a huge opportunity because although those people like to go to the mountains, they really like an urban setting too. And so they like to come, they like to do the winter experience or the mountain experience and then come back to the city and do, you know, shopping and lots of, you know, restaurants and sporting events and arts and culture. So, right. So I think there's an opportunity in those five sectors. And of course, then there's a lot of opportunity in renewable, and we see that growing at a rapid rate.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, again, you know, there's definitely a lot of industries in Calgary that have the opportunity to grow more and create a larger space in the market for them and in the economy. And I think this also falls back into how Calgary is portrayed. I mean, you talk to people across the country or you talk to people around the world and, you know, the word of mouth is, you know, Alberta oil and gas, that those are the two connections that they make. And, you know, this all, it's about, again, you know, sharing what other opportunities we have and the other parts of the market and of the economy that actually help increase Calgary's, to boost Calgary's reputation in terms of being a more well-rounded city. That all just comes from sharing this kind of information and being able to tell people you know, even through pictures and social media. I mean, so many people know about the Rockies and they'll just either go straight to BC, you know, if they're living in Eastern Canada, they'll just fly right to BC and check out the ocean and check out the mountains on that side. But it's sometimes difficult for people to get into Calgary or get into Edmonton and look at the Rockies from the Albertan side. And, you know, I think through social media and people posting pictures about this stuff, it does create more of a room for the tourism industry, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't agree to you 100%, but I do know what you're saying in the sense of, and here's the big myth about Calgary. So I want to come back to the Rocky Mountain thing because, you know, Banff National Park is the most visited park in Canada by a long shot, right? So,
right.
But it's very heavily skewed to a lot of international tours. So I do agree with you, and it's, you know, I think it's such a shame, you know, during the 150th year, like, it's great that we did park passes, but, you know, a $30 park pass, I don't know is enough. But and it's funny because I remember working in the airline industry and we allowed all the youth to fly across the country for $125, right?
Yeah.
And Via Rail did a little thing like that, but it would have been great to do that because it would have been great to see, you know, some of the youth come to Western Canada. And I do agree with you that I'm shocked at, you know, people that leave Alberta, go to school in other parts of the country and the hard time that they have trying to change perceptions of Calgary. And so we do a lot of monitoring of perceptions, but I think the biggest mystery or the biggest myth about Calgary in particular is, and this is, you know, I've lived across the country and it does make me laugh. And I will say by my own admission, I came to Calgary crying, but it was 27 years ago. And, you know, I would not live in another place in the country. You know, but the biggest myth about Calgary is that we're not innovative. And so it actually makes me kind of laugh sometimes that we talk about a corridor called Toronto-Waterloo as the innovation hub, and not that innovation doesn't happen. But if people think that there's more innovation in an app than there is in under the ground in the energy industry, I have news for them. Because the under the ground innovation that happens is so significant and is, you know, capital intensive, high risk. You know, you imagine trying to go down in the ground a kilometer and a half to extract oil, you know, in a frozen tundra, right? Like, that is innovation, right? And so what people don't realize, and not to mention that we've been able to reduce greenhouse gas tremendously over the last 10 years, right? And so, and we're continuing to focus, and that is innovation at its finest, right? And I think what people forget is that, you know, we have the highest concentration of STEM workers here in Calgary.
Right.
You know, so science, technology, engineering, math, those people are quite innovative. They may not be, you know, the perfect person to go in and do a sales pitch to raise money at a VC. We've got to work on that because we need to make sure not only are they innovative, but they're entrepreneurial. And I think that's where we have fallen down. And jurisdictions like Waterloo have done an exceptional job of, you know, making their people work ready. And they've made them kind of, you know, they make them understand what it is to go in and run a business and raise money. I think we've got a lot of work to do on that. But the point being is that innovation has been happening here for years and years and years, and it's a misperception that there's not innovation that's happening here. But we have such an opportunity. You think about that base. That is something you can't create, right? It's not like a policy you put in place or, you know, an incubator that you put in place that will help an ecosystem. We've got raw talent here. and we've got generations of raw talent, and we, you know, 28% of the graduates coming out of our post-secondary are still related to STEM fields. We had, you know, the highest population growth here in the last several years, including during the recession, where we had 60,000 people move here during the recession. 60% of them came from other parts of the world, and they're highly educated, they're multicultural, come with a world perspective. And so, you know, I think we've got some awesome ingredients, right, of becoming the innovation, not just the energy center of all things energy here, but becoming the innovation center. And that's why you see, where did the guy from Uber come from? He didn't come from Waterloo. He came from Calgary, right?
Yeah.
Where was Java created? It wasn't created in Waterloo. It was created at UC,
yeah.
Right? And so, you know, this is the kind of things that people are forgetting. You know, there's companies that have done innovation for NASA here. There's companies that have done innovation for Lego here. There's companies that have done, working with all the Fortune 500 companies that are in the technology field, like in high tech. Right. And so we've had this kind of like, you know, emerging kind of high tech industry that has done it in spite of not having a great ecosystem or the fact that you couldn't get talent. Talent was seduced into working into the energy industry. But what we know is the energy industry has changed for good. Right. And this is a structural change in the energy industry. This is not a cyclical. And this is our window of opportunity to get some of that talent who, by the way, is not leaving at the rate you would expect during this downturn, right? To get them focused on other things, to set up the infrastructure and the framework that's required to have a healthier ecosystem in innovation. And you know, I always say technology isn't a sector anymore. Innovation isn't a sector. It's actually across every industry we have. And you think about it being over the industrial sectors, right? The opportunities there are for efficiency and productivity are so great, and we just happen to have all the head offices here, whether it be in agriculture or whether it be not all of them, but a significant concentration of them in agriculture, energy, you know, transportation here, that there's such a huge opportunity for us to become the industrial Internet of Things sector, and that requires us to have an innovation sector. It doesn't mean we'll walk away from energy. We're actually getting pretty good at renewables, right? There's a significant number of jobs that have been created, and there's a significant number of companies that have emerged out of this, right? But the starting point is people think about us as an oil and gas industry, and there's not, look at our oil and gas, the innovation that's happened in our industry has been exported worldwide. It's why our number one customer, the U.S., has become our number one competitor because of our technology.
No,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and it's definitely inspiring, you know, and I think These are the things that just people need to know. And I mean, I guess clearly through knowing that there is so many people coming in into Calgary, even during the recession, I guess people do know. And it's just about making it a little bit more mainstream, I guess.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not blaming anybody, right? Like, I think this is the important part. I would argue that there's a lot of federal politicians that don't even understand the opportunity here, right? I think that... You know, look at Calgary's well beyond being down on its knees praying for $100 oil now. Like, right. The energy industry has buckled down. They've taken, you know, some of them have taken 30% out of their operating costs. They've reduced capital significantly, which will have a huge impact on our GDP in time, right? But there's people are reimagining this city, right? And you know, when you've got 9% unemployment, and you've got a whole bunch of office space available, you don't have a choice. And
right.
People truly believe, but we did a confidence survey recently, and it's something like 81% of the people believe that the industry has changed for good and that we have to diversify our economy. So we just attracted an accelerator out of Silicon Valley here that is a corporate accelerator. So, and the industries they focus on are logistics, agritech and energy. And so it's perfectly suited for us to advance technology on what I would call the above the ground technologies.
Right.
You know, I think we're really good on the below the ground technologies. And now we got to get efficient at our operation, even further advance precision agriculture, right? Let's be the smart logistics hub. Let's, you know, be the energy center that runs most efficiently, not the most costly.
Right. You're definitely, Mary, you're definitely motivating me to move back to Calgary, so.
I recruit one person at a time, by the way.
That. So that's perfect.
We would welcome you. I'll meet you at the airport.
Sounds
for the
good.
White Hat.
Perfect. I've got one more question, and that's also from Burgess Langshot Agri Team Canada. So the question is as follows. Economic growth has proved a double-edged sword for Calgary and many other cities. Sure, it creates jobs, but it also drives expansion of the city at a rate that is not manageable by city infrastructure, localized inflation, etc. At what point is growing the city's economy no longer beneficial for its inhabitants, and how do we manage the effects of overgrowth?
I mean, it's so just to start off with, and why we push so hard to take a very, very holistic view of the economy when we developed refresh to our economic strategy in 2013 and 2014. And the person who asked the question is 100% correct. You know, we expected between 2011 and 2015 to see 60,000 people move here, and we had something like we expected 80,000 and something like 160,000 moved here. So that is, it puts a lot of strain on the on the city. And so we said, you know, it's really, really important, particularly when you have a lot of international, so 50 or 60% of those people moving here were coming from international markets. So if you think about economic development, always the low ceiling on economic development is your ability to attract talent, integrate talent, and retain talent. So in good times and in bad times, you have to always be very aware of that. So we said, you know, we have to really care not just about conventional economic development. How do we become the responsible leader in energy in the country, if not the world? How do we establish a stronger entrepreneur ecosystem and an innovation ecosystem to allow those sectors that I talked to you about, right? So, you know, logistics, agri-tech, agri-food, financial services, creative industries, tourism, and longer term, there's some biomedical as well as life sciences that we're looking at, but there's not a big enough cluster right now. But you know, how do we allow those sectors to grow, right? You know, so that was the conventional one, but we said, if we're attracting this many people, then we better ensure that we're focused on shared prosperity. How do we integrate them into the community? How do we ensure that there's an opportunity for anyone that wants to come here, both educationally as well as, you know, economically as well as socially? So, you know, poverty reduction was a key driver in our economic strategy, which is a very unusual approach. So we care about the people, because people are the low ceiling on economic development. It can hinder or help economic development. And then we said, you know, what is the low ceiling on attracting and retaining people, particularly in bad times, right? And I think this is evidence now that we're 3 years through this recession and there's not a lot of people leaving, is the third pillar that we were focused on is building a strong community. So do you have live, work, play communities? Because not everybody wants to have a white picket fence and a driveway to shovel, because they might have come from a community where they're used to walking to work. You know, we can't help them with the cold. We just always say, it's not that it's cold, it's that you're underdressed. but, you know, we're very focused on the building the good community, and we're not through that transition. So, you know, I think as far as, like, roads, I think we've done a really good job with transit, and we're continuing to focus on transit, you know, as far as infrastructure to manage the people growth and the people growth that continues, in addition to kind of the way that people are going to change their transportation, so whether that be autonomous cars or or autonomous vehicles overall, like we're considering that in the long run. But you know, every city in Canada has an infrastructure deficit right now. It is not unique to Calgary, right? It's you know, so I would just say, you know, that's happened across the country. It isn't unique to us. It doesn't make it right, but it is. But we truly took a very holistic view at economic development. In fact, one of the key metrics in and this is really important for people to understand, in our core metrics in our economic strategy, one of them is citizen satisfaction. right? Yeah. And so we want to measure, we don't just want to measure GDP, we want to measure citizen satisfaction, because that is so important to a community's success, right? And that is affected by a lot of things. It's, what we've seen is it's greatly affected on how buoyant the economy is, because ours has gone down, but it's also really tied to, you know, what are the things, how do I live, work, and play in that city? How do I get around? What do we have the right cultural assets and the right recreational assets for me to really enjoy the community? Is it easy for me to get to work? Is it, you know, and we still, you know, we're not a grade A city from that perspective. With respect, we still have a lot of work to do around transportation. Our transportation system is still a little bit out of date, but we do have very high ridership on transit, which I think is really important. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that we don't think of economic development as just GDP growth. We think about it as, is there shared prosperity? Do we have high participation rate? And do we have high participation rate in the workforce from minority groups or marginalized groups? So that's disabled, seniors, Aboriginal, new immigrants, new grads. Do we have high participation in that? And that's been a hard thing to navigate through, but we have not let go of those programs on how to integrate those people into the community. And find, if there is a job for them, to find them, even the downturn, try to find them jobs. And so it's, you know, and I would just say, you know, my closing comment on this is that, you know, Calgary is still a very safe city to live.
Mm-hmm.
I walk home in the core every single day, right? And it's, I have no hesitation to do so, and I won't do that in other cities. Right. And so even with that growth, you would think that there would be a lot more social problems. Not that crime hasn't been on the rise, and particularly during the downturn, but it's still, as it stands side by side with the major cities across Canada, Calgary is still a very safe city to live.
Right.
And I think it's partly because of its active lifestyle. It tends to attract people that, you know, want to get out and do things, go to the mountains, ride their bikes. I mean, we have 920 kilometers of bike paths in the city, and the Harvard Business Review did a study, or a study through the Harvard Business Review ranked us the ninth best city for workers in Canada. And part of it is your buying power, so you can buy a house here, not like other cities like Vancouver and Toronto in particular. The quality of life, the Economist unit has ranked us as the best city in the world for the fifth best city in the world for 6 years running. You know, so I think that Harvard Business Review, and the Harvard Business one was the ninth best city for workers in the world. Did I say Canada? Sorry, I said Canada. Pardon me. But yeah, so, you know, I think that Calgary still, you know, in spite of its even economic downturn, we're still faring well as far as quality of life goes. And, you know, and that's why I think we're seeing people still move here during the recession.
Yeah, and might I add, Calgary is one of the friendliest cities that I've seen as well, so... Always proud of that.
Yeah, it really is. It is. And I mean, having come from Toronto, lived in Vancouver, and then moved to Calgary, I think it's one of the things. There's a real energy here in the way people live in their communities, and also the way they do work. And I think that is also a really important thing for people to understand. We have still have the highest concentration of headquarters in this country, and it's in an 8-block radius. So it's really easy to do. If you work in Calgary in the downtown core, if you don't do 6 to 8 meetings in a day, you are a slacker, right? And it's just because that's the way business is done here,
right?
And then you can be guaranteed people go to the mountains or out on their bikes or out on the river fishing for their weekend. So they like to work hard, but they really like to play hard.
Right. No,
and that's a big attraction to Calgary.
It's great. I'm falling even more in love with that city for sure. Okay, well, did you have any final comments that you wanted to share with the listeners, Mary?
I would just say, you know, I would encourage the listeners to also take their own responsibilities in climate change. It's not just up to the industry, but I can tell you there's CEOs in this city are very committed to making changes and going through this transition, and it is important for people to acknowledge that fossil fuels will be here for a while. We all have to work together to help reduce carbon in that production of fossil fuels, but more importantly in the consumption of fossil fuels. Because if you want to sit in a warm house, you know, or cook your turkey at Christmas, or you know, give your family a new iPhone, then we're all going to be using petroleum products for a long time. And so, you know, we all have a responsibility to do that. And I would also just encourage people to come to Calgary when you can, because it is a great city. Okay. And watch for the transition that will happen in the city over the next decade.
It's going to be great, I think. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming onto the show. It's very, very much appreciated. We'd love to have you again. And I guess the last thing I'll say is I'm just going to wrap up my workday here, and I'll meet you at the airport.
Great. I'll see you then.
Okay.
Just let me know your flight arrival time.
Sounds good.
You can come through our beautiful new airport, by the way.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening, everyone. And please remember, just keep greening.